Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. Thanks for listening. This is Carl Nordgren. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill, which is bringing you Exploring Your Creative Genius, a show that comes at the topic of creativity and entrepreneurship and innovation from all different directions so that you'll construct your own understanding of what it means to be creative. The last handful of shows, we've had some really very thoughtful guests who have given us some really interesting stuff to think about, like the relationship between creativity and mathematics, or how wonder serves creativity. So I thought maybe a little counter-programming here. All those wonderful, thoughtful stuff so that you can be thinking about all of this. Let's now give you some action to do, right? Some creative in behavior, some creative tips that you can just do right now and that will have immediate impact on your creative performance. And you got to start with the simplest, most basic one of all. Research out of the University of Stanford discovered that when you reach your natural stride as you walk, when you achieve your natural stride, the two hemispheres of your brain integrate so that now the imaginative is dancing with the rational and the logical is playing with the intuitive. And so you're in your most creative brain by taking a walk, And there's a good latency effect too. Long after the walk is over, you're still have the benefit of these two hemispheres working together. Now, the researchers thought to themselves, I wonder if it's because we had them taking these walks, our participants were taking their walks in these beautiful Palo Alto parks. And when I realized that they had challenged themselves on that, I thought, I take walks in the woods all the time, and I come back with some good, fresh, creative perspective very often, and I always thought it was the woods. I always thought it was being out in the woods themselves. So they decided to test this, and so they ran the research project a second time, except they changed the key piece. They had the participants on a treadmill in a basement staring at a wall, and they got the same results. So I've got to think that walking in the woods adds to, but it's the walk, folks. You got a problem you're dealing with, take it for a walk. You're trying to figure out how to finish that song, take it for a walk. A loved one has asked you a question, an important question that you're thinking about your answer, take it for a walk. You get your whole brain engaged in considering about what to do. Having reminded us of the benefit of having the two hemispheres working together, let's give you another exercise. Maybe you don't have time to take a walk, right? So here's another exercise that you can do. You can do it right now. If you're not driving listening, if you're in your home listening, stand up. Stand up, take your right hand and tap your left shoulder 3 or 4 times. Take your left hand, tap your right shoulder 3 or 4 times. Take your right hand again and tap your left knee 3 or 4 times, and then take your left hand and tap your right knee 3 or 4 times. And I develop a little bit of a rhythm when I go through this routine a second time. And then I develop a little bit more rhythm when I go through this routine a third time. I cycle through it 3 times. And once again, you've integrated the two hemispheres of your brain because the right hemisphere controls the left side of your body. Your left hemisphere controls the right side of your body. You've now crossed, integrated, and so now you've got the two hemispheres working together. And in fact, there's even a third way to integrate your brain that calls you to do nothing more than move your eyes. Stare straight ahead without moving your head. Look as far to the left as you can. Hold that for a 4 or 5 count, as far to the left as you can. Bring your eyes back. You're looking straight ahead. Now take your eyes to the far right. Look as far to the right as you can. and hold for about a 4 or 5 count. Once again, you've been integrating your brain. When you repeat that, you cycle through that exercise 3 or 4 times, you've integrated both hemispheres of your brain. And so it is approaching, when the brain is integrated, when the two hemispheres are integrated, man, it's approaching that optimal performance. It's where you want it to be. So there's a couple of three real simple ones I could describe pretty simply. Now let's get a little more ambitious one. I love this one. I would give this to my Duke students to do, and boy, they loved it. I come out of my workshops urging people to take this exercise on. It is a 30-day exercise. It's a 30-day creative action program. Let's call it a 30-day CAP. I've talked about this once or twice on this show before. What you're going to be doing, folks, is just kicking the status quo in the butt a little bit every day for 30 days in a row, and that has, research shows, profound impact on your creative thinking. So what do I mean by a 30-day cap? I mean every day, once a day, you will do one of two things. You will either do something you've never done before, or you'll do something that you do habitually, but now you're going to do it in a whole new fashion. Let's stick with that one for a second. I'm right-handed, so I brush my teeth with my right hand. When I'm doing a 30-day cap, that day my activity could be I'm going to brush my teeth with my left hand, right? Activity that I always do, doing it in clearly the opposite fashion. Another example of something I do every day, or in this case every night, that I'm going to do in an opposite fashion. I sleep with my head on the north end of the bed. When I'm doing a 30-day cap, the activity I could do for that day would be to sleep with my head on the south side of the bed. And boy, when I do this one, it is truly I'm disoriented when I get up from the other side, the other end of the bed. And again, we're challenging the status quo with this disorientation. Examples of things that I've never done before. Well, here's one that my Duke students reported that they did a couple of different times, different students, and that is they're standing in a line at a coffee shop waiting to place their order, turn around and introduce themselves to the stranger behind them and offer to buy their cup of coffee, something they've never done before. A woman in a workshop shared one of her activities for her 30-day cap as an example of something she'd never done before. When she drove home one evening from work, she decided ahead of time that she was going to identify the first three objects that got her attention on the roadside as she's driving home. The first three objects that got her attention, she's going to try to create a narrative that incorporates those three objects on her drive home. So 30-day cap, do something every day. You do something you've either never done before or something you do habitually in a whole new fashion. I'm going to eat my meal today standing up, right? That's something I do habitually sitting down. I don't do it standing up, a full course meal. So a 30-day cap works for you. And come on back after the break and we'll have some more.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Hello and welcome back. This is Carl Nordgren. Thanks for returning. We've had a first segment of the show where I've shared some simple and easy and fun tips to grow your creative qualities. Let me say one last thing about a 30-day cap. Bring a sense of whimsy to the activities that you identify, right? I think that will help. That will help unlock your creativity in terms of what you're going to be doing, and it will just make it all the more fun when you bring a little sense of whimsy. So let's move on. When you hold an object in your hand, your brain is much more engaged than when you're just simply looking at that object, right? If you were looking at a pencil on a table and somebody were to ask you, how many different uses can you come up? How many different creative ideas can you come up with for how to use that pencil? You'd come up with whatever you would come up with. But boy, if you were holding the pencil, when asked that question, research shows you'll come up with many more uses, and your creativity will be much more pronounced. The quality of your creative ideas will be much more pronounced by holding it in your hand. So let's stay with the example of a pencil. And folks, I'm urging you, if you have students, I'm urging them to write with a pen or a pencil in their hand. Write their notes. Don't try to capture their notes digitally. Write their notes, right? If you try to type out the notes when somebody's talking, a professor, a teacher is talking, you can type so quickly that you might actually be tempted to try to write exactly what the person is saying, right? You're not integrating the knowledge. You're just recording information. But when you write your notes with a pencil, research shows, we're much more inclined to already begin to try to integrate what we're hearing, try to begin to explain to ourselves what we're hearing, try to relate what we're hearing as we are writing it with our pencil. Boy, you want to really open up your creativity as you are recording your notes, your thoughts, your ideas. Draw them, visualize them. Try to create a visual representation of what you are thinking, of what you are wanting to do, what your ideas are. Again, out of Stanford research showed that those students that sort of bring a doodle quality to their handwritten notes have even higher levels of retention and understanding and comprehension of what they are learning about, what their class is about. So draw your ideas. It takes one kind of understanding of an idea to hold it in your head, right? To think about it is one level of understanding. To be able to write something down about it requires another level of understanding. To be representing it visually takes a whole nother level of understanding. And boy, don't you want to accomplish that with your ideas? You want to have multiple perspectives. There is one way right there to take multiple perspectives on your ideas. So write, draw, keep a journal, not online, but a real live journal, an actual piece of hardware that you can write in and draw in. When I have my students keep journals over the course of a semester, I'd make the first week visual week. All their entries the first week had to have a strong visual representation. The visual had to be carrying the message. And with my hope by requiring that the first week is that these inclinations to represent ideas visually would continue throughout the course. A couple more quick tips on drawing. I brought in a gentleman who studies visual arts as a guest speaker in one of my classes, and he shared with my students how the research shows that when you give yourself permission to fill the page with your visual, right? Not draw a little thing between the lines, but fill the page with the graph, with the chart, with the doodle, with the caricature, with whatever you are doing visually to help you think about what it is you're thinking about. More of your creativity is available to you, research shows, when you're just committed to just filling the page. Here's another real simple one. I've mentioned this frequently. I want to keep coming back to this one because it's just so incredible that you can get this benefit so simply, and that is research out of the University of Munich. I think it's probably about 10 years ago now. I was still at Duke when the research occurred. I think it was about 10 years ago. Research out of the University of Munich, they were trying to determine, does color have impact on one's creative performance? And so they did something that most researchers don't do. I've learned that most creativity researchers will find a aspect of creative cognition, and that will be what the research will be designed about, will be measuring the growth or not, you know, or non-growth, lack of growth in that particular very specific creative exercise activity. Usually it's divergent thinking, because it's measurable, because there's huge databases of folks who have been taking that research piece so they can make a lot of qualitative decisions. Well, University of Munich was really very ambitious. They came up with four very different creative exercises, including divergent thinking, but also I remember another one was our creative intuition was another one they tested for. So they do the four exercises. You all know how this research works, right? They get the baseline participants. They use the following colors. Some groups stared at the color blue for 30 seconds and then took the exercises. Some stared at red, others at yellow, others at gray. Those first folks had no improvement in the performance on their creative exercises after staring at that color. The folks that stared at green for 30 seconds, 20 to 30 seconds, the folks that stared at green had a 25% improvement on their creative performance. Whereas I would say to my students when I talked about this research, that 25% improvement, man, that doesn't that take your B minus to an A plus? I went out that day and bought a green folder. I stare at it twice a day for 30 seconds. Wow, it takes a whole minute of my time to get this impact. I painted my office green before I learned that Munich did a follow-up, University of Munich did a follow-up research on this topic, and that was, did ambient green have the same impact, right? If you were in a green environment, but you were not focusing in your concentration on specifically on the green, but just were bathed in green, would it have the same impact? No, it doesn't. So I'm in a green office serves me because I love the green. So, folks, I've got a short segment coming up, but I've got a couple more good tips for you, good exercises for you. Please come on back.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. This is the final segment of Exploring Your Creative Genius. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for listening. We've been sharing tips, thoughts, advice about particular activities that you can do to grow your creativity. Let's get a couple more at you. Here's one for a business setting. It can work for you individually, but I can see this mostly in a business setting, and that's a new, better way to do brainstorming, collaborative brainstorming, right? We bring everybody together. The leader brings everybody together and lays down some givens, right? This is the project. This is the goal that we're trying to accomplish. These are our resources. This is our current situation. The way most people now do brainstorming is they say, okay, now start throwing some ideas at me. Let's start generating some ideas. Research shows that if you go through that setup, as I described it, right, so everybody's now fully informed about the challenge, and then excuse them and let them go back to their day and bring everybody back together in somewhere between 24 and 48 hours, wow, research shows that folks come up with many more suggestions, many more creative suggestions to solve that problem, to develop that opportunity. Because what's happened is that doing a good job of informing people imprints this into them, right? They now got it, and so it's there now, and it's back in their subconscious, and their subconscious, which is processing 50 million bits of information in the moment that your conscious is processing 50 bits of information, that subconscious is working on relationships and mashups, and how does this attend to that, and that work is being done for you, and it becomes available to you when you call upon it, when you get back together again. So there's some real benefit from letting the subconscious do its thing on your ideas. Another thing that you can do, this is, if you're in a family or a close group, why don't y'all create a game? Create a game that none of you have ever played before. Right? Three or four of you are sitting around together at a table. Why don't you announce? Why don't you challenge the group that, hey, we're going to create a new game, and we're going to create a new game with what we've got right here. We're going to do what we have. We're going to do what we can with what we have right here. Create a new game. It's open-ended. You don't need to have the game fully defined. What's the first couple of things you want to do to start the game, to get the game started? And now that you're moving, come up with the next thing you want to do and the next thing you want to do. I spent, a half hour when I was living up in Illinois on the ice with one of my daughters, we had a piece of ice and we just started kicking it around on the frozen creek that we were walking on. And boy, before you knew it, there was this rule and there was that rule. And we spent a half hour playing a game as we were creating it. It was one of my fondest memories of all. So create a game. Make a new friend. Make a new friend. What a wonderful creative exercise to make a new friend. What a wonderful generative exercise. You get the delight and you get new perspectives, right? You get the wonder of coming to understand another human being, and you get to be challenged and informed so that your growth happens. So it's pragmatic altruism, right? There's a practical benefit to do that wonderful thing of go make a new friend. How do you make a new friend? You be generous, right? You bring your delight to that friend, right? And you're generous with them, and you're appreciative of them, and you ask them good open-ended questions. I've been somebody who hasn't made a lot of friends through a lot of my adult life, but boy, the last 10 years or so, I'm having a blast making new friends. And with those new friends, another tip for making those friends that is once again one that benefits you as well, and that is, especially with these new friends, be real intentional about your gift of your undivided attention, right? Your appreciative listening to what your new friends have to say to you, and of course, all of your friends have to say to you. When you give somebody your undivided attention, oh my gosh, they feel so honored. You know it. You know when somebody's listening to you, is really attending to what you have to say. Well, what if they were attending? What if you were attending to what your friend had to say with an appreciative mindset, right? You're listening for the best of it. You're listening for the most wonderful aspects of what your friend is sharing with you in this story or this idea. Doesn't it seem likely, since you're listening to it appreciatively, that the first things you're going to say will be appreciative things, will come from that appreciative place? And maybe, especially if it's like a new idea, if you start speaking appreciatively about it, I wonder if it might appreciate in value. I might appreciate in value. I think I can throw two more at you real quick because this one's easy. Move. Move. Get up. Move. Any kind of movement. Move. Your body is smarter when you move. Your body is smarter when you move. Change your perspectives. Change your environment. You're sitting on this side of the desk and you're working on a problem. Can you sit on the other side of the desk? The lights are bright. Bring them down a little bit. Go to the coffee shop. Research shows that that low hum murmur of folks in a coffee shop actually does support creative cognition, creative rumination. So, folks, thanks for listening. Exploring Your Creative Genius on the best radio station in the state of North Carolina. I'll talk to you next week.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.